Well, I got to tell you, 2020, I had a feeling this was going to happen, and it is turning out to be the year of the reunions, people coming out of retirement. We got a lot of bands to talk about who will be touring in 2020. Fred, I'm just excited. I don't know if it's something magical about 2020. It is a leap year, you know, but maybe the planets are lining up for some really amazing reunions.
All right, so here's my theory.
Okay.
All right, my theory is that in 1969 was one of the most, probably one of the most dynamic releases of debut albums from some of our biggest, most iconic 60s rock bands.
Right.
And that alone, and then, of course, Woodstock was, in 1969 as well. So I think it's more of a spillover into 2020,
right,
with all of these bands. Because, like, just off the top of my head, I know that ZZ Top is celebrating their 50th year.
Which would have been 2019, but still continuing that tour
Correct.
Into 2020.
Yeah,
so it just makes sense.
So that's my take on it, is that it's kind of a spillover. I think the fact that things like the film industry is grabbing on to all these classic rock bands, whether it's Bohemian Rhapsody or Dirt or all these documentaries that are coming out, I think the level of interest for classic rock bands is just really pretty high.
Which is good for us on the Promotion Man podcast, because, I mean, that's our forte.
That's our core topic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's dig into a couple here. First of all, I want to start off with a big one. And this one is big because, you know, 6 years ago, all four members of Motley Crue, they had this contract. They all signed it. They said, there's no way we're ever, ever going to tour again. This is it. We would be breaking a contract if we ever came back live. Supposedly, though, there was a stipulation where Nikki Sixx said, unless all four of us in the band, you know, sign it, say we'll do it, then we can blow up the contract. And so we haven't really heard that much since then, except rumors floating around. Well, the rumor is they got offered $150 million from Live Nation.
What?
$150
million. Wow.
So they ran this entire video where they blow up the contract, literally. It's laying on a desk and they explode this room. And so they're coming back to do a tour with Def Leppard and Poison in 2020.
Wow. Wow.
So, I mean, you know, it's so much about marketing, obviously. Farewell tour, retirement. I mean, even Ozzy's done the Retirement Sucks tour and came out of retirement. You know, he's still going strong. So, I mean, what's your take on Motley Crue? I mean, this is one that they swore they would never, ever do it. And here they are. They're coming back. I mean, I guess money talks, right?
Well, that, and they had a movie called Dirt,
yeah,
which I think probably put them back on people's top of the mind, because even our podcast, we can break down who is our target demo. And, you know, the truth is the younger generation are really getting into vinyl. They've grown up listening to classic rock because their parents, you know, were listening to it.
Right.
And it's good music. And yeah, it's always been good music.
Yeah.
And I think that has a lot to do with all of this interest in all of this. And obviously Def Leppard.
And it's kind of funny you brought up the Dirt, because that was part of the whole video that before they blew up the contract, they were saying, you know, renewed interest in Motley Crue since the band retired after they released their biopic called The Dirt. And so they kind of used that as like, well, it was kind of because of this. I mean, they don't go into the $150 million part of it, but they did use The Dirt. So that's a good example.
I have to tell you something. That's a significant amount of money.
And that's a lot of dough. Let's move on to the other big one. This was one I'm really excited about because I'm a huge fan of these guys, but they're siblings and they fight a lot and they used to do a lot of drugs and they used to drink a lot.
Oasis.
You're close. They've actually toured with this band, believe it or not, which was the craziest tour I ever thought of.
Hold on. Can I guess?
Yes.
Because I'm thinking siblings.
Right.
I mean, the Kinks.
Yeah. Now, that's one that we'll talk about a little later. That one is still not 100% confirmed, but that's
oh,
a possibility.
No, I got it.
Who is it? Come on.
In fact, I saw this band for the very first time in San Antonio, if I'm correct, because right, I don't know if I'm right or not. But I remember calling on a music director in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, I want you to come with me because I'm really getting hyped up about this brand new band. and they're being managed by the old sound guy from Van Halen.
Oh.
And Pete Angelus was their manager, and it's the Black Crowes.
Right, absolutely right.
Nice.
That's right. So what's happened is Chris and Rich Robinson, Chris the vocalist, Rich the guitarist, they pretty much fired all the other original Black Crowes musicians.
Okay.
They brought in new musicians, and they're going to perform their album Shake Your Moneymaker, which was released 1990, 30 years ago. So they're going to perform that in its entirety, following that up with their greatest hits. And they're kicking it off, for those of you who listen to the Promotion Man podcast in Austin, right here on June 17th. We get the first show.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I have to tell you, when I did see them that first time, they were amazing.
Yeah.
I can't remember what hall it was in San Antonio, but they had this raw rock and roll thing going on, and clearly they were just, you know, really, they lived up to the Promotion Man's hype
right.
of that record label, because they were really strong.
Well, think about this. 1990, Guns N' Roses was the biggest band in the world. Metallica was, you know, on the harder side. They weren't as mainstream as they are today. Then you have Nirvana and the grunge sound starting, you know, a little bit later. It's already starting to progress in Seattle. And then you got a band who kind of sounds like the Faces meets the Rolling Stones, and it's a great album.
I mean, it's a great album.
There's only one cover on there, and it's an Otis Redding cover.
Yeah.
You know, hard to handle. So,
yeah. Which they did so well.
They did a great job on it.
Yeah.
So this one, I'm going to punt it to you.
Okay.
Because maybe you can definitely get more insight on this because you've had more time with the band. That's the Doobie Brothers 50th anniversary with Michael McDonald and Tom Johnston and Patrick Simmons and John McPhee on the road together for the first time in 25 years.
I think it's so great. Obviously, they're in the past podcast, we talked about them being nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And we also had episodes about the Doobie Brothers and how Michael's influence on the band really took him to another stratosphere of record sales. And you know, there's his voice is that such a unique sound. And I think this will give the fans an opportunity who've never seen the Doobie Brothers to see them live doing all these big hits. I think it's exciting.
I wonder if they're going to do it chronologically, like maybe Tom comes out and does the China Grove Black Water stuff, and then all of a sudden Michael comes out with Taking It to the Streets. And
yeah, that'd be
minute.
Cool.
So I don't have any idea what they're planning.
But I think
on.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
And I think it's a wonderful time for them to do that, especially if they do. I think they're going to get they're going to get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I think so, too.
I think they're kind of a shoo-in.
I do, too.
And I think the latest is Pearl Jam.
Yeah, but it's only European.
Oh, is that right?
No North American date.
Bastards.
But there is a North American date that everyone already knows about this, Kiss End of the Road World Tour. But now they've announced an opening act.
David Lee Roth.
Right.
Is what I've heard.
Which, you know, fits right into our thing perfectly.
Yeah, so a lot of bands coming out with tours, and I really encourage everybody, you know, unfortunately ticket prices are out of control these days, but I encourage everybody to spend the money to see your favorite band because, you know, they're all getting older, and this is the classic rock that, you know, kind of makes our podcast Promotion Man, and these bands aren't going to be able to do this forever.
One that I'm really excited about, and I cannot afford it, so I may not be going to it, is Alanis Morissette's 25th anniversary of Jagged Little Pill.
Which I think would be really pretty awesome. There's this really great show on Sundays, and I think it's called Sunday Morning.
Right.
And it's a lifestyle program, and it's about an hour and a half. But what they always seem to do is have these wonderful backstories of what's going on with different people in different walks of life. So they did something about Alanis Morissette, and she had a play happen in New York. And, of course, she's not in the play, but it's based on Jagged Little Pill.
So it's like a Broadway musical. On the album.
Yeah, which
wow.
I thought was really pretty cool.
That is cool. Well, like I said, Garbage is opening up that show. And Liz Phair, you know, which was kind of cool, you know.
I
was like,
you know,
but I was thinking about this. And, of course, everyone's going to go, of course you would think this. But, you know, I got to think of, like, those 90s solo artists that were female, I could have picked somebody better than Liz Phair. Like, I don't know, Poe? Hello?
No,
hello?
No, you're right. I mean, there were certain artists that had more of an underground following, and we'd have to say that Liz Phair is one of them.
Oh, yeah. I saw it South by
Kate
Southwest.
Kate Bush
for sure.
is another one.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just certain where they didn't really pop large.
Juliana Hatfield was
there
another
you go.
One. You know, a
there
lot of
go.
Those artists.
Julia Fordham. How long
right.
can we do this?
You know, probably forever because there was a lot of one-hit wonders in the 90s.
Oh.
So, Alanis was not one of them.
So can I talk about garbage for a second?
Yes.
When I was on the road with Pumpkins, Smashing Pumpkins, mm-hmm. they toured a lot in my territory. And honestly, their show was pretty much the same show every night. And I got bored with it.
Really?
So I didn't always just stick around for the whole show. I'd go entertain myself depending on what city. And I'd just take the limo and go somewhere. But I remember being in Louisiana and they didn't have their rep, the record rep. So I started entertaining the band Garbage
yeah.
and found them to be so much fun.
Yeah, great band.
And I love that debut album. I think that debut album is just chock full of hits.
It is.
You
it
know,
is. I mean, I saw them about a year ago, and it was their own tour at, no, I'm sorry, they were opening for Blondie. That's what it was.
Oh, what a great
band. That was a great show.
That was a great
band. Shirley Manson. Who is the lead singer of Garbage. She's Scottish.
Yeah.
She's now in her 50s. She looks like she's about 30.
I really liked her
She's
a lot.
Great.
She's great.
And then, of course, their drummer is Butch Vig.
Right,
who
Butch
produced
Vig.
Nevermind.
Right.
And produced the Pumpkins Gish.
That's exactly right.
So there's some good tours. We're going to talk about some more later on today. I mean...
I remember. Can I tell you what I
yeah.
remembered? Cleanup. We need another cleanup.
Okay.
I don't know why I do this, but on one of our podcasts, we had talked about, I had said that No Doubt was opening for Madonna.
Right.
And that wasn't actually the case. It was a U2 show.
Oh, U2.
And because I had mentioned that, what's her name? Why can't I think of her name now?
Gwen Stefani?
Yes, Gwen Stefani was so ripped.
Right.
And so energetic that she literally did one-armed push-ups on the stage. I mean, because she was just amazing. And I don't know why, but I thought it was the opening of the Madonna tour, but it was actually a U2 tour.
Okay. I wish you would do one-arm push-ups on me.
I bet you do. But Blake Shelton.
Sorry, Blake. My bad.
He's getting those one-arm push-ups.
Right.
I know Alice Cooper is on the road. From my understanding, Wayne Kramer is a part of that tour. And again, Alice has got a wonderful rock and roll balls to the wall song called Detroit City 2020.
Yes. The other one that I'm excited about, and there's just a few limited dates on this one, but the Eagles are doing the Hotel California album in its entirety, kind of like what the Black Crowes are doing.
So great.
And then they follow it up with the greatest hit set after that. I mean, let's talk about the Eagles. I mean, this is, I got to drive to Houston to see this show.
Yeah, I think it would be something that everyone should try to see because Hotel California was a groundbreaking album that really carried this band to the stratosphere. And for them to be able to do the whole thing in its entirety with Glenn Frey's son, Deacon.
Right.
And then I guess Vince Gill's in the band, isn't
yes.
that right?
Yes, he's the other guy. He's
yeah.
So.
Yeah, so I think that'll be really pretty great.
I mean, you've got Joe Walsh in there to kind of, you know, make sure all the guitar parts are right when they do their, you know, duo
right.
of lead there on Hotel California, which I still think is one of the greatest guitar duet leads ever, you know.
No question about
it. I mean,
it.
You know, right up there with Skynyrd on Freebird, but... That's pretty exciting. We're going to get a little bit harder. Now, this is one that I didn't think would ever happen, but this one is more politically motivated, and it is the band Rage Against the Machine, where Tom Morello has been begging Zach De La Rocha for years to get back together because, obviously, it's going to be a good payday. But they say, you know, it's not about the money. It's about a awareness that an election is happening in 2020. We're trying to get the youth and people of our age, you know, motivated to go to the polls and vote. And that's why they're saying that Rage Against the Machine is getting back together. Only a few dates. It kicks off in El Paso in March. And They'll be doing both weekends at Coachella. So
now you were with Tom like just about a month ago.
Yeah,
you?
Yeah. When he was doing, he's doing like a solo thing, and no mention of it. Nothing.
But when you saw him doing the solo thing, he did bring out some tracks. So.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, he does the Rage stuff, but he does his stuff with Audio Slave and, you know, the stuff he did with Chris Cornell and his solo stuff, The Night Watchman. And, I mean, he's just such an accomplished guitar player. Even has one of the masterclass things you may have seen online. So Rage Against the Machine, pretty exciting right there.
I think that's going to be fantastic.
So let's talk about another previous guest we've had, Wayne Kramer from the MC5, nominated to go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they've got a reunion there.
Yeah, so first of all, you had mentioned that a lot of this is going to be in the year 2020. Alice Cooper had wanted to assemble a bunch of Detroit musicians, and so he called Wayne Kramer of MC5 and said, hey, you know, I'd like you to be a part of this. And he said, who should we get, you know, on this? And Wayne said, well, I'd get Mark Farner from Grand Funk, and then Johnny B from the Rockets fame for drums. So they cut this track called Detroit City 2020, which I just think is such a great rock and roll balls to the walls song. And at the same time, MC5, whose debut album came out in 1969, was celebrating their 50 years in rock and roll. So their tour is called MC50, and they're touring Europe. And
I love that.
Yeah.
MC50.
MC50. Yeah, so they're out there. I know ZZ Top is celebrating their 50th.
Right, yeah.
And my understanding is that they have a really great film. But I've been trying to find it. I've been trying to figure out when is it being released.
I know they premiered it in 2019 in Hollywood, and it was supposedly coming to select markets. I never saw it if it came through our city. So.
Yeah, I never did either, but it's something I'd like to see because when you really think about ZZ Top, they are so rich in hits. I mean, so rich. I was turned on to the band when I was hitchhiking around the country, and it was Rio Grande Mud. And that album, and, you know, they're just rich in hits. So it'd be fascinating to see that film about them, but they're on the road for their 50th anniversary, which I know runs through 2020.
I'd love to see the movie simply because I just want to see the progression literally from the beginning where, you know, that little old band from Texas, this blues bar band, if you yeah. will, goes into this gigantic MTV, you know, yeah. synthesized, just glam kind of thing, which, I mean, it's talk about reinventing yourself in the 80s the way they did with Eliminator and The Car and the...
And let's be honest here. When people bring up Guitar Heroes,
yeah,
I don't think Billy Gibbons gets enough credit.
Oh,
because,
I don't either.
Because let's put it this way. There's three guys in the band. There's a drummer... A bass player and a guitar player.
Right.
And the sound that they make. Well, Van Halen was the same way,
yeah.
except that they had a lead singer. But my point is, they are a powerhouse. And Billy Gibbons is just such an incredible, incredible guitar player. So it'd be fun to see them on the road as well.
You know, this one was on my wish list. I was thinking maybe 2020 we would see, you know, you mentioned Van Halen. I would love to see them. I know Eddie's having some health issues. I mean, obviously that comes first. There's nothing at all about Van Halen. However, there is the David Lee Roth Vegas residency. That is going to be going on through March of 2020, and it's at the House of Blues. I think that's really great to get David Lee Roth, you know, back to where they were at, playing the stadiums. He can be as big and as... you know, animated as he wants to be, even though he's an elderly guy now. But,
yeah,
you know, it's going to be great.
I think the only challenge is his vocals. I mean, if he can keep his throat healthy and he can, you know, hit those notes and stuff, because he's a wonderful showman.
Right. We mentioned the Kinks. I would put that one on the highly likely list as we're recording today. You know, when you hear it, maybe it's already happened, but... I've heard the brothers are getting back together and working out their differences. I've never seen the Kinks live. I mean,
I've never seen them
so
live.
That would
either.
Be pretty amazing to see that.
Yeah.
Kiss, of course, talk about a band that never will end it.
Ever.
They're calling it the End of the Road World Tour. Now, here's what I have for 2020. The tour's scheduled through October of 2020, and the rumors are the final date is going to happen sometime probably early summer 2021 at Madison Square Garden, where they've invited, rumored now, Peter Criss, Ace Frehley, the other guys who came in them. Anyone who's been with Kiss is supposedly going to play this last show at Madison Square Garden. And I got to tell you, I've seen Kiss a lot of times, but it would be great one more time to see
the original members.
Four.
Yeah. Can I tell you my Kiss story?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so I was a kid. It was my first record job in Atlanta, Georgia. And in Atlanta, there was the Fox Theater, which was this ornate theater where the plays and ballets and all of that would happen. And then certain bands would come in there and play. But right across the street, the local promoter, his name was Alex Cooley. So he was like every city or every region had a concert promoter. And so he was like the South's concert promoter.
Nice name, too.
Alex Cooley.
Sounds like a promoter.
Yeah. And so he had this amazing club. It was ginormous. It was this huge club that was called Alex Cooley's Electric Ballroom.
Wow.
And I'll always remember that this was right when Quadrophenia was happening and Quad Sound and Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon was utilizing four speakers in four corners of the room.
Right.
And then The Who was doing the same thing. Well, Alex Cooley built his sound system so there was four corners that had the speakers and whatnot.
That's awesome.
And then he had a VIP room, which you went up the stairs above the sound guy's board, and that was the VIP room.
Yeah.
And so what would happen is touring bands would come and play for 3 or 4 days in a row. So I saw Bob Seger there for 3 days in a row.
Wow.
I would see all these bands that would play there 3, 4 nights in a row. And one night, I was there, and this band wearing these huge platform boots and really long shag haircuts were walking up to the VIP, and I said to one of them, I said, "Hey, are you the New York Dolls?"
They probably took that as a compliment.
I think it was Ace.
He
said to me, "No, man, we're better than the Dolls. We're Kiss."
Oh, wow.
And this was them without their makeup.
But they were heavily influenced by the Dolls. Come on.
And they were on Quaaludes for sure because they were stumbling around. You know, but that's my Kiss running because I was really into the New York Dolls.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Quadrophenia because that's one last one I have today is
The Who.
They're doing, some dates predominantly in Europe and the U.K., but there is 3 dates scheduled, Dallas, Houston, and Denver, and they're doing some of the classic Quadrophenia stuff along with their other staples as well.
Yeah, so. I heard they were on the road, and I also heard that they're doing some makeup dates because I guess Roger had struggled with some sort of laryngitis or whatever.
Right.
But
kind of like you today.
Yeah, kind of. And I have I can't wait till we get into 1980 and 81 in my touring schedule because I have stories about ZZ Top and The Who.
Right.
You know, that we haven't even gotten into yet.
I can't wait. We've kind of gone through the ones that we know about, our confirmed tour for 2020. So now, Fred, I'm going to play a game with you. Who we'd like to see get back together in 2020, and then we'll both vote highly likely, maybe, definitely not. All right.
And I've seen so many rock shows. I mean, so many. I've been really fortunate. But I would love to see Pink Floyd on the road again.
Okay.
They had put on the most amazing, magical shows I've ever seen. And for you listeners, if you really want to get a really wonderful taste of Pink Floyd, they have a DVD out of a live concert footage, and it's called Pulse.
Okay.
And I would highly recommend it to anybody because... You know, the interesting thing about Pink Floyd is that, you know, they have these crescendos where it's almost jazzy and then it gets into this hardcore rock and it kind of hits this crescendo and then it kind of goes back to a more jazzy kind of a groove. And so I would go with them for sure.
Let's vote. Likely, maybe, definitely not. You give me yours.
I would say definitely not.
I agree with you because Gilmour he sold all of his prize guitars.
Yeah.
So, hey, that's a good one, though. Let me give you another one.
All right.
Let me throw this one at you. Genesis with Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins.
Wow, that would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great. You know what? That could be a probably because I bet they're all looking at what's going on.
Right.
And I bet you they're talking to each other because that'd be Michael Rutherford.
Yes, Mike Rutherford.
Yeah, so that would be all of them.
Mike and the Mechanics. Yeah, the side project.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that could be a possibility.
Okay, I'm going to agree with you. The only thing that has been what I would consider a hindrance is Phil Collins has had some health issues recently, but you know, he had to cancel some tours, but he's back. So
just take some vitamin B, man.
I'm going to go with highly likely on that one as well.
Yeah.
You got another one?
I do. I would love to see, I guess this is kind of hard, but I would love to see Steely Dan again.
Well, I mean, they are touring.
Yeah.
You know, obviously without
Walton. Yeah, so I guess that's the one that's
they're out there already. But they're
out
there, you know, so that's still happening.
Yeah.
Okay, I got one for you. This one's close to your heart.
Okay.
Talking Heads.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
That would be so great. In fact, I talked with Chris Frantz this morning. He was, they were on their way to the Bahamas, but I was trying to schedule him for our interview with him.
Right.
And that would be a great reunion tour. I would love to see that.
What's your vote?
Well, I know that David Byrne, I watched him on Jimmy Fallon.
Okay.
And he was promoting a play that they're doing, but it's a musical play.
Right.
So he seems to be, you know, doing some stuff already. So I don't know. I don't know if it's highly likely or or never going to happen.
I'm going to go with never going to happen.
Okay.
I mean, just from, you know, he's pretty stubborn. I mean, he said he wasn't going to do it. And the other ones were, you know, Chris and Tina were tired of being David's backup band. And I think that's how it ended.
And you know, what's interesting is when we had Ted Cohen on as a guest and he had talked about David Lee Roth and David Byrne and how he had to say to David Lee Roth, don't talk so much.
Right.
And then David Byrne say, talk, like acknowledge. I had never seen David Byrne laugh like he did.
Oh, really?
He was laughing with Jimmy Fallon. He was really in a great mood.
All right.
And I never saw that side of him. And I'm wondering, you know, what has gone on? Like, I don't know. But I mean, it would be really pretty great to see them again.
Your Honor, I'd like to change my plea to a maybe then. How about that?
No, I don't know.
All right. Here's the biggie that everyone talks about. And I think you and I would probably have consistent guesses on if this one will ever happen. Led Zeppelin.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you know, I always think that they're always up for coming back because, you know, with John Bonham's son being their drummer now,
right?
When they do get back together, I think it would be what's the middle one?
Likely.
Likely.
Yes.
I'll go with likely.
But no, maybe. I'm sorry. Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe.
So it's likely will happen.
Okay.
Maybe might.
Okay.
And no way in hell.
Okay, I'm going to go with maybe might.
I'm going to go with no way in hell.
Really?
I mean, Robert, just every interview, his podcast, he just, even currently, he's saying, I have zero interest in going back out there and performing those songs with Jimmy. And
I can see that, though. I mean, there's a certain amount of that they just get burnt out.
And, you know, I got to think when you're his age, even if you got $150 million like Motley Crue got thrown at him, he's like, I got more money than I could ever spend than my grandkids will ever spend.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm going to say probably not on that one. This is high on my wish list. I'll give you my answer on what I think. R.E.M.
Wow.
You like the ones I picked today?
Yeah.
What do you think? R.E.M.
Well, I think Michael Stipe's is quirky, to say the least.
Yeah.
And completely follows his own path.
Right.
So I would go with highly unlikely.
I'm going to say, you know, here's a band who ended their 30-year run in 2011. I mean, that's almost 10 years in 2020. They continue to say no, said they're done, and they're sad that they will never, ever share the stage again. I mean, that's kind of what Mike Mills has said. It's like, I can't believe I'm never going to be on the stage to play with Michael Stipe again, you know? So, I don't know. Maybe, I'm going to put that as a maybe.
All right.
I'll put it as a maybe. Oasis. The Gallagher brothers are touring solo. You know, and they're still fighting.
They're
as
still
much as
fighting.
So what do you think on Oasis?
No way.
I'm going to make a prediction and say highly likely 2030.
Oh, yeah. 2030.
By then, they may need the money, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't see them getting back together anytime soon. Black Sabbath, you know, now Ozzy has had to cancel a ton of dates for 2019 that he's making up. He's already got all the dates for the UK and the US for all over North America. And he's picked Marilyn Manson to be his opening act.
Wow.
And so that's he's got that though. Scheduled all the way out. But I still got to feel like Sharon, maybe not Ozzy, but Sharon's going to go like one more big blowout for these guys. Because as you said, they're aging. We want them to do it while they're still healthy and can pull it off. So I'm going to say highly likely towards the end of the year, 2020 Black Sabbath.
Wow, that'll be interesting to see.
And the final one, I guess, is he really doesn't need to get back together, but I'm going to throw out the White Stripes.
Really?
Jack White, I mean, obviously has so many things in the water.
He's got so many side projects going on.
I'm going to kind of go with that one like Oasis. I'm going to say maybe 2025 at Austin City Limits Music Fest.
All right, I have a couple I'd like to see get back together.
All right.
I'd like to see the original lineup of Grand Funk Railroad.
Yeah.
So I would love to see them. I'd love to see Santana back on the road.
Yeah.
That would be great.
That's always a great show.
It's always a great show.
Talk about a string of hits.
Yeah. We talked on an earlier podcast that Mott the Hoople did some really select shows, but it would be nice if they kept going.
I've got one more I just thought about. Steve Perry getting back with Journey.
Oh, that would
now,
be
Steve
huge.
Now, Steve has put out a solo album. He has done some dates.
That would be huge.
I got to think Journey might be knocking on that door.
Wow, that would be huge.
Yeah. So I know Journey and the Pretenders are touring next year, but it's with the guy who replaced Steve. So.
Yeah, I heard that, and I have to be honest with you. I don't see how they go together.
It is a strange kind of combo.
I mean, the Pretenders have an edgy sound to them, and
right. They're
an edgy band, and Chrissy's an edgy kind of lead singer. And Journey is so kind of
polished.
Yeah,
and slick.
Slick and mellow and big production.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't see how that one hooks together, but there you have it.
Well, I hope we've provoked some of your thinking as well. And maybe if you've got some that you'd like to see that we haven't mentioned, get back together or your thoughts, feel free to drop us some email there at promotion-man.com. Keep listening to the podcast. Keep sharing. We're growing week after week after week. We're so excited. I mean, it's really doing well.
Yeah, it is doing really well. Hey, I have one more.
Oh, go.
I want to see Eddie Van Halen again.
Yeah, me too, man.
I mean, when you read that he's, you know, battling some things, and we all know what that is, it makes it real that you never know.
Right.
And it would be so fantastic to see him again because he is just incredible guitar player.
If it ever happened, would you like to see kind of like what the Doobies are doing? But would you like to see Sammy and Dave and Michael Anthony and Eddie and Alex all tour together?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's
that's
two.
That's the way to do it, man.
And I know there's two very different camps.
Big time.
Two very different camps.
Big time.
But first of all, Michael needs to come back.
Yeah.
Period.
Right.
And then if they had the ability to have both lead singers, that would be pretty great as well.
And I think it would be great for David Lee Roth because they could make it a longer show. David wouldn't have to work quite as hard with his vocals.
Yeah.
Sammy, you know, could come in and play guitar. Even with David singing, I mean, they could have two guitars like on Jump. If Eddie's over there doing keyboards, let Sammy do the guitar part.
I don't know
part.
If those two could be together. But anyway, this has been a great podcast.
It
Thanks
has.
Again for listening and sharing. I think you guys sharing has really helped because we're watching our numbers really start to explode. So thank you for that.
And by the way, I want to say a big thank you to Sue Emmer, who was on recently the Promotion Woman podcast.
Yeah, that was a good one.
At the time our most downloaded in one day podcast since we began. So thank you, Sue, if you're listening today.
Yeah, nice. Thanks.
Promotion Man, the true backstories of the most iconic bands in the world, told by Fred Myers and interviewed by me, L.A. Lloyd. Get involved and interact on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You'll find the links at promotion-man.com. That's promotion-man.com. Download the weekly Promotion Man podcast on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Play, or your favorite podcast provider. We appreciate you subscribing and spreading the word, and thanks for listening.